You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Chad Daybell trial, it is moving along at a very interesting pace. I'd say there's some moments where it's very intriguing and some moments where you go, what exactly is John Pryor trying to do? Like, what is the goal here? Joining me to discuss, former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Fardis. Eric, you've been watching this, and you've been covering it as well for Court TV a bit. Tell me, what's been your impression since we last talked last week about where things are going in this trial?
You know, I think we're getting more of a glimpse into sort of the intimate personal relationship between Chad and Lori. That's not something that we had a whole lot of in Lori's trial because she wasn't blaming Chad in that trial. But here we're learning about text messages. We're learning about sort of relationship and family dynamics and how those may have had bearing on the allegations in this case and what ultimately went down.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fascinating to watch John Pryor. Some days, I think his cross has been pretty good. Other days, today was kind of questionable. But it does make you wonder, it's got to be a hard one to defend no matter what. But does he have any idea where he's going with some of this? Or is he kind of fishing right now? With let's see what sticks and what doesn't. What's been your evaluation of his representation thus far?
I hear you. You know, sometimes when you don't have the most crystallized, compelling defense, you kind of have to take some shots here and there and just see how it goes. And so I agree with you that sometimes he seems really on point and other times it's a bit unclear as to his direction. But he's objecting a ton, especially early on. I think he's doing it less now. But I think that he may have been objecting a little too much for some of the jurors liking, especially with how long this trial could be.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly been fascinating to watch, and this has got to be a hard one to defend. We're talking about legal strategies that are based in reality when you have a client that's based in Never Neverland. Talking about the most bizarre of things, like if you send me an emoji, I'm going to give powers back to you, to Lori.
I didn't know that's how that worked. It was interesting to learn.
I had no idea emojis did that. Like, I'm totally giving powers to people from now on. And obviously you hear this. How do you think they want to paint this on Chad? Is this someone who is like kind of a master manipulator and just because he's so love struck with Lori and he's just going to say whatever he can to kind of get her in bed again? Or is this someone who believes his own shit?
Yeah, I think there are two possible conclusions the jury could draw about Chad. One is that he's sort of this unwitting smitten kitten who was, kind of doing whatever Lori wanted and going along with things. And he was kind of a sidekick, whatever. The other, which some of the texts are kind of supporting, is that he was more involved. He was more kind of a ringleader, and he was certainly exerting some influence and control over Lori in the context of this sort of grand alleged scheme.
We've been hearing a lot of information about Alex Cox. We've been hearing a lot about Lori Vallow. And we're hearing bits and pieces that tie Chad Daybell into it. But there hasn't been a ton that have been directly connecting him yet to the murders of the kids. And we'll talk about the kids first. Do you think we're going to see some more coming down the line? Obviously, this thing's going to go on for 8 to 10 weeks. We're just kind of seeing the beginning of it play out. We've seen some interesting things, that video of him in the car with his daughter saying, I'm not coming back, so you better figure out the mortgage. That, to me, has been one of the more damning pieces thus far. But are they going to have more to tie Chad to the actual murders of the kids himself?
It's an important question because, like you said, there's some things that are circumstantial. There's some innuendo. There's some suggestion, and sort of he's loosely tied to, these conversations and these plans and moving from Arizona to Idaho and everything else. But in terms of putting him at the murder scene or associating him with some murder weapon, it just hasn't come to be yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think the prosecution is going to have to step their game up a little bit on that front.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.